بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We begin the next section of قصر الشهوتين, which speaks about the riyadiyat, the various efforts and exercises a person makes when trying to stop the stomach's desire for eating or overeating. So Imam Al-Zahid rahmatullah alayhi mentions that for every person who seeks to grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's four things that he's obligated to keep in mind regarding his stomach or her stomach and what that person eats. The first is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O you who believe, O mankind, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ, eat from the earth that which is what? حَلَالًا, that which is lawful. The reason for this is because it's an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to fuel His body, meaning the body that He gave us, to perform acts of worship with that which is permissible. Because as Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions, to perform acts of worship while eating that which is haram, that which is impermissible, is like building a building upon the ways of the sea. Now, there's not going to be that much discussion regarding which is halal and what is haram. We're not here to speak about, okay, this is halal and this is haram and this is dhabiha and this is non-dhabiha, etc. It's sufficient for all of us to understand that it's a right of our body and our soul over us that we are eating that which is permissible. Aside from that, you can make your decisions based upon whatever studies you have done and knowledge that you have. And that is, alhamdulillah, going to be sufficient for everyone or most people. If anyone has a question, feel free to ask. But most people know which is halal and which is permissible. But then there are three other things after it being halal. And most people can attain the fact that it's halal and then ascertain it and then attain it. But others, the other three are a little more difficult. So the next thing is to see the merit of the food, the quality of the food, the goodness of the food in terms of its quantity being small or large. Also, the pace by which we eat the food, it shouldn't be too quick nor too slow. And we should determine what type of food we should eat and what type of food we avoid. Not about halal and haram. We're talking about within the realm of halal. So now the first obligation that we have to make sure is we begin to recognize the quantity of the food, small versus large. And when we do that, we do so with one of the intentions is to make sure that we reduce the amount of food that we take in. Now, for some people, this is very difficult. Thus, we have to take a very practical approach to it. Yes, we made dua. Yes, we begin to purify the heart. All those things take place. But there needs to be practical steps by which a person begins to reduce the intake of the food. Especially that person who is accustomed to eating a lot, when you ask them to make that switch from eating a lot to eating a little, it rocks their world completely. They begin to feel as if they're starving to death because they're not used to it. Thus, we have to make small steps, yet consistent steps, to begin to not overeat. To begin to not overeat. Now again, since the very beginning, one of the discussions we've been having is that the ulama have said the eating little is the acts of the people of the past. It's not going to happen in today's day and age. Thus, we should be more concerned with eating that which is tayyib, which is pure and obviously halal. But there are some people who exert an effort to try to do the things that the people of the past used to do. And so for them, we're not going to go all the way to the extreme, and I don't want to say extreme, to the level of having them eat so little like the Sahaba used to, radiallahu anhum. However, we do want them to curb their appetite such that they're not overeating. And I think avoiding overeating is going to be beneficial for the general community today. If a person's not careful in this, and they get very excited, and they begin to start reducing their food, they're going to become very weak. Because it's not their bodies are not used to it yet. They're not able to reduce the amount of food that they're eating in a sudden manner. Thus, he mentions that we should gradually begin to take less food. So he gives some examples. For example, if you're going to have two pieces of bread, not two pieces of like, you know, two like pita breads, for example, or two like flat breads, for example. If you're used to eating two of them, then one should begin to try to get himself used to eating one. And how should that person do so? And he gives a bit of a complicated approach, but I'll read it to you and then we'll discuss this in a moment. If a person eats two flat breads, then a person wants to get himself used to eating one, he should reduce his consumption by 1/4 of 7 breads. That is 1 out of 28 or 1 out of 30 portions in order to reach a consumption level of one loaf a month without harming himself. So what does that basically mean? Don't all of a sudden say if you're eating, now people, this is not going to make sense for most people. Let's use an easier example. Let's say you're used to eating two slices of pizza. Even two slices of pizza. Two burgers, okay? Most of us could eat two burgers. We only need to eat one burger. Unless like you're Mahmoud and you're working out back there. Most of us only need one. The rest of us probably... Mahmoud, can you stand up for a moment? This is the example of 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. We're the example of 1/7. Okay? No, I'm serious. Look at... You can sit now. I don't mean to make you stand and touch that. That's the example of 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. I'm the example of 1/7. Despite these bulging muscles, I don't need to eat 1/3 of my stomach filled. I just need 1/7. That will keep me going. He's the example of the hadith that you need 1/3. Why? Because he's physically capable to do much more and stronger. Thus, to maintain that lifestyle and maintain that strength, more food's necessary. Many Muslims ask, okay, wait, am I 1/3 or am I 1/7? Chances are, if you're brown, you're 1/7. You're not 1/3. But okay, I have to take a step back, see if you also fit in that category. You know, but people are making effort. They're exerting themselves. They're working the field. They're working out. If you're working out, yeah, increase your intake. But if you have no need, then maybe we should not increase too much. That's really the idea. It's being practical. Now, he gives this mathematical equation. So basically, he says, reduce 1/4 of 7 loaves. Now, what does that basically, or 7 flatbreads? What that basically means is, let's say you have 2 burgers, and you know you shouldn't eat 2. The first burger, you're hungry, you devour it. The second burger, there's a little hunger left, so it still looks good to you. When you're full, it doesn't look good anymore. So now you want to start eating, and after a couple bites, you're like, was this really a good idea? And then you're still eating, you're like, okay, you know, I can make it through. And then you make it through. That second one is unnecessary. So you know that second one is unnecessary. Having a little feeling of hunger is not only good, but it's beneficial spiritually. And we've covered all those benefits earlier. So now what should a person do? Basically, he's saying, take that first burger, eat it like you normally would. That second item that you eat, divide it into portions. So don't give it up right away. Instead of eating the entire burger, eat 3/4 of it, give 1/4 to someone else. And get used to that. And now when your body is really happy with 1 full burger and 3/4 of a burger, psychologically, mentally speaking, it's not a big leap. Going from 2 to 1, it's like, oh man, I'm hungry. I normally have 2. Going from 2 to 1 and 3/4, you're able to pull it off a little easier. And this is what he's saying. Take it that way. And then when a person has done that with ease, then what should he do? After a little while, reduce from that second burger a little more. Instead of eating 3/4 of that burger, tell someone, hey, you want to go halves on this second burger? So now you eat one, and hey, let's get another burger, let's go halves on this. Give him half, you eat half. Now, it doesn't happen within a week. One week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, a month passes, etc. And your mind and your body's happy with 1 3/4, cut it down to 1 1/2. And eat 1 1/2 burgers for a couple months. And now what's happening is the body is used to it. It's not a big leap from going 1 3/4 to going 1 1/2. Then that similar reduction should be made, and it should be kept up as the body gets used to it until finally we get down to only eating one burger. Or whatever the food that we eat, whatever the idea is, so we reduce it. Now, and then he also mentions that if you eat something that's weighed, for example, then you should choose to weigh, that's fine as well. So he's saying take a practical approach. The idea for this basically is that if you were to say, I'm jumping from 2 to 1, it's too difficult. But jumping from 2 to 7/8 or 2 to 3/4, from 2 to 1 7/8 or 2 to 1 3/4, it's a lot easier. Thus, a person's able to reduce it. And as they reduce it, all those benefits of hunger that we've been covering the past, 2 weeks now, will begin to enter into our lives without us feeling overwhelmed. Muslims were very extreme people. Now, I don't mean extreme the way you see in the news, you know, extreme like killing people. We're very extreme people. We get excited and we go do something. And then we regret it. And then we go back even worse than before. So a person says to himself, look, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to get in better shape. So now what does he do? He doesn't go say, okay, you know what? I'm eating 7 meals a day. Let me reduce it to 6. I don't need to eat 7 meals in a day. He says, 7 meals a day, astaghfirullah, what am I thinking? I'm going to have 1/7 of my stomach in 1 meal. So he keeps it up for a good week. Then one day the craving hits. He doesn't eat 7 meals now. He eats 10 meals. And then he does it for 2 or 3 straight. Now he feels very disgusting and he just is sick of himself and says, you know what? I can never accomplish anything. I'm just going to continue this. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was very strong in his psychology as well. So when he speaks about don't overdo or don't become extreme, it's not because he considers us weak. He knows that human beings, by nature, we are weak and we're hasty. And because we're hasty, our intentions may be good, but the application of the intention is not always good because of the fact that we don't take those proper steps. So to accomplish this reduction, he says 4 things should be done. 4 steps should be done. Okay. So in these 4 steps, the most important is that a person should be vigilant of what he's doing, and he should be truthful in what he's doing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a great scholar, Sahal al-Tustari, we mentioned his name a few times before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave specific qualities to human beings. One was life, one was intelligence, and one is strength. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from these 3 things, life, strength, and intelligence, from these 3 things that He gave us, if we were able to utilize life and intelligence, then we would eat and break our fast. And then what we would do is we would use that life example through our intelligence to go benefit other people, because we realize, just like I'm living my life, and it's been really hungry the past few days, others are also living their lives and they've been very, very hungry. So let me use some of the money that I have and go give it for them. So all of these things, these qualities that we have, they're for the betterment of people and the betterment of ourselves. However, he mentions that if that person utilizes his strength and he cannot avoid the other two, meaning he has to embody the other two, then he should recognize that through his strength he can better himself. So what does he basically mean? If a person has life and intelligence and doesn't have strength, there's an issue. What strength do you better yourself? So if I have strength, I can stand and pray. If I have strength, I can continuously fast. If I have strength, I can go out and search for people in need and give them the good that they deserve and the good that they can help them. If I have strength, I can see my brother and sister and help that person out. I can carry on my tasks. life and intelligence is not sufficient. Strength helps keep things easy and feasible and something that we're able to do with regularity. And without that strength, we will not be able to be highly functional, and we cannot accomplish all the things that we want to do with ease. Thus, within hunger, we take it gradually, because if we were to drop the strength and do the other two, there'll be a lot of benefit in life, but the issue is the goodness that we intend, we can't carry it out. Someone pulls, I remember once in Zambia, I was walking to class, and when I was walking to class, someone's car broke down. And so, random Zambian, his car broke down. And so, I had my books. So, you know, it's just a little problem. I couldn't have my books. I didn't have my books. I'd come home for lunch. And then lunch for us was basically just coming home, make sure the kids aren't going crazy, and then going back. And as I was walking back, I didn't have my books on this. So my hands were free. And so I said, you know, I'll give you a hand. I'll push your car. I had an asthma attack right then. And I could not push that car at all. My life, through experience, having broken down before in my car and my motorcycle, I remember how it stinks to be in that position. My intelligence lent to the fact that I understood that it stinks to be in that position. It's better to help the guy out. But my strength failed me at that moment. I was pushing him, and I couldn't do much for him. I was just having a big asthma attack at that moment. And so, basically, if we take out our strength, which is a quality and a gift from Allah Ta'ala, we are not helping anyone. And people make this mistake. They say, well, I'm going to eat very little. I'm going to be this very pious person. And they dwindle down to nothing. And they're unable to carry out physical tasks now. And they think they're being a really pious servant. No, that's not piety. Piety is not just becoming someone who looks, you know, dressing in all white, you know, dressing in tattered rags, and, you know, growing a 10-foot beard and just standing like this, and assalamu alaikum, brother, and just sitting there. That's not piety. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu once saw someone in the masjid, saw someone who went to say salam, and he was walking with his head down. You know, people would effectuate humility. So he took his staff and he struck the person on the neck. He said, piety is not here. Piety is in here. See, piety is not in the neck. Piety is in the heart. We effectuate things oftentimes. And then we become proud. Why? Because we notice that people see, oh man, he thinks I'm pretty pious. She thinks I'm pretty pious. And then we get so caught up in that, we forget the fact that we have not actually attained piety. Okay. So let's come back to the actual thing. So as Sahal was saying, for the person who seeks to grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they should do is they should just decide, and he spoke about himself in particular, that his year's expense, he didn't try to buy much for food. And I accustomed myself for taking very, very little. I would get ingredients, and I would just set aside one meal daily, and a small meal for that. And I would consume that, and when I would consume that, I stayed content with it. That's not going to happen for most people. So what do we decide for ourselves? We should say, I'm going to set aside the meals, plural, that I would eat daily, and only take one plateful. Just do that. Only take one plateful. If you eat rice, only take enough for one plate. Now don't say, I'm only taking one plate, I'm going to pile it up, and now I'm balancing as going back. No. One normal plate that you take, just take only that. When you complete it and you feel hungry, don't go for the second plate. So this idea of being wakeful and vigilant, this is the first point, right? Being vigilant, meaning being careful to monitor, what am I doing? You know what ghafla is, being heedless. People often think ghafla is just not doing dhikr. Ghafla could be anywhere. Ghafla, for example, is when you're walking in and someone opens the door for you and you don't say thank you or jazakumullah khairan. That's ghafla. Ghafla is, you know, your wife just cooked a very good meal. And you know it tasted good, but you're too lazy to thank her for it, or to express how good it was, or the husband being receiving that compliment, whatever the dynamic of the family is. That's ghafla. Ghafla is, you know, you're going to the vending machine and it swallows one of your quarters like it often does over here, and someone next to you is like, here, just, you can take a quarter. And you're like, oh, thanks. And then that thanks is probably barely lip service. There was no real gratitude in the process. That's ghafla. Ghafla means a person is not firing in all cylinders, such that that person's mental capacity and spiritual capacity, whatever they're showing, is not complete. So when they're doing dhikr, they're saying subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. They're saying it. They don't understand what they're saying. They're looking around the masjid to see who's doing what, and they're just running their fingers through the thumb through their fingers at the end of the prayer, and there's no benefit. Being dhakir of Allah Ta'ala is what did the Prophet say? Whoever does not thank mankind has not thanked Allah. Why? Because you're becoming grateful by being someone who's vigilant. I notice Allah Ta'ala sent these people around me. When He sent these people around me, they are helping me, and I want to help them. Why? We're all part and parcel of that same family. So here's that brother who I see sometimes, and when I say salam, when he says salam, and in the masjid, I'm saying wa alaikum salam. We're barely shaking hands, and I'm already walking past to go to my shoes, and we're barely. You know, you see this all the time. Muslims, they say salam wa alaikum salam. They don't even stop. Salam wa alaikum, how are you? They're saying how are you. They've already walked past that person. It's a formality. That's being heedless. The Prophet was not heedless. When he met someone who would say salam, he would stop. He would square his shoulders to that person. He would then look at that person and communicate whatever needs to be communicated at that moment. That is being someone who is dhakir, remembering Allah. Why? This is the creation of Allah. I should honor Him. Coming and parking. There's not enough people here, but when you have Jumu'ah, we have a lot of people in ghafla. People double park, they get out, they see the tire is over the line, or it's too close to the line, such that next person cannot open their door. And they think, oh, I'm late to prayer, let me go inside. You're not you, but that person's being late for prayer was their own mistake. Why are you making someone else pay for your mistake by parking so close that that person can't get out? That's being ghafil. They're not thinking of what would be pleasurable to Allah Ta'ala. So the first thing a person has to do when trying to reduce the activity of the stomach, the consumption of the stomach, is to recognize that they have to be wakeful and vigilant. They have to be wakeful. They have to see in these three capacities, life, intelligence, and strength, how am I harming myself? Am I looking at my food? Am I seeing what I'm consuming? Am I not seeing what I'm consuming? Am I seeing when I'm becoming too weak? Am I seeing when I'm not? Do I know my boundaries? Am I crossing my boundaries? Am I not? Sometimes you need to cross your boundary. If you're invited to someone's place to eat, you can't just say, you know, brother, I attended these classes after Asr, so I'm just going to have a few grains of rice and go. And their family just cooked an entire meal for you. And now what are they going to do with all that food? And what type of gratitude did you show them? You have to be vigilant and wakeful. The second is, a person needs to appease himself or herself such that they train themselves to be happy with that which is less. In Ramadan, many of you might be feeling that, I didn't eat breakfast, I didn't eat lunch. How many of you are lightheaded right now, dizzy? Not sleepy. Sleep is a whole different thing. That's just because of our night activities. But how many of us are, you know, I just can't function? No, right? Now it's been half the month, over half the month now. We're pretty much, about over half the month now. We're used to it. What do we do on Eid? I'm the most guilty person of this. Oh, Eid is a party of Allah, so I should eat a lot. Then we eat a lot. Okay, that's fine. And the next day we say, you know, I should still eat some more because Eid is 3 days. Eid is not 3 days, guys. Eid is one day. Eid al-Adha has the ayam al-Tashriq. Eid al-Fitr is one day. It's haram to fast on Eid. So how do people fast the next day, the day after Eid, when Eid is 3 days? It's not 3 days. We make up so many strange excuses. People make up so many strange excuses just to get what their nafs wants them to do. We have to be, step one, be vigilant. Understand we can't lie to ourselves anymore. We have to be people who seek and people who are truthful. And stop lying to ourselves. I was dealing with this week's been a very rough week when it came to marriages. Forget this week. Yesterday, I was in Chicago visiting my parents because I hadn't visited them for quite a bit of time. So I asked for permission to go, and I went to Chicago. And after Fajr, I prayed at a masjid, and one of the brothers had to talk to me. He was an older brother in his 50s. He came and he spoke to me. He came and he spoke to me about his addiction on the internet. He's married, he has children. And he was mentioning that still, when I'm working on my laptop, I still slip up. I was really proud, I didn't tell him, but I was really proud of him at that moment, because it's very difficult to go to someone for help. And it's very difficult sometimes to unveil yourself. But he was just saying that I tried a lot and I need to change this because this is something that's displeasurable to Allah. He didn't make excuses. He was aware of his mistake And now he wanted to change. And he wanted to begin to train himself to change. So I pointed him out to some people who might be able to train him and help him change. We have to understand what we need to do, be vigilant about it, and train ourselves. You have to train yourselves. When I was getting marriage counseling, one of the things that our counselor trained us to do was say thank you. Show the gratitude, even if you feel it. What do couples say? Oh, there's no takalluf. You know it was good food. I don't have to say it. No, you have to say it. Once in a while, you see your wife and she looks very beautiful. The wife sees the husband, he looks very handsome. And you're thinking it. But we're too proud to say it at that moment. Or we feel too awkward. Just say it. Even if you feel awkward, just say it. When you say it, it will make the relationship better. Mom cooks food, it's very good. You put the plate away and you go. Just tell her the food was wonderful. Give her a kiss on the cheek. Tell her the food was wonderful. It will change things. We don't allow ourselves to do beyond what our nafs wants us to do. And shaitan does not let the nafs do that much except for what he wants. So it restricts the good and it makes expansive that which is not good. So we should be vigilant, one, two, to look at what we're doing, and two, to appease ourselves, be careful through very, very little. At the very least, we should aim for one third, one third, one third. Now let me tell you one of the easy ways to do this. And I'll stop here and we'll do steps 3 and 4. One of the easy ways is to eat on the ground. If you're with your family, they want to eat on the table, eat on the table. If you can't, eat on the ground. And sit one of three ways according to the sunnah. One is the way I'm sitting right now. You sit on one foot and you lean into your other foot. Now what people often do, you have to sit on one foot. You can't keep the foot underneath you. If you're sitting like this, your stomach is open. When you're sitting on the foot and you're leaning against your thigh, even if you try right now, it feels strange. Doesn't it feel comfortable? And you eat like this. This is pushing the stomach. The stomach is reduced. It's easier to eat that way, easier to eat less that way. The other way is to flip the leg and put it the other way up. Now you're sitting the opposite leg. Now the leg has to be against the stomach. Some people, they sit on their leg, but they're sitting like this. This leg is up. It's not pushing anything to the side. It's just on the side. You can eat a lot like this. It has to be against your stomach, so when you're leaning into it, it crushes the stomach a little. The third is the complete sunnah, which Ali radiallahu anhu used to do quite a bit. And the Prophet used to love Ali radiallahu anhu for doing this. It's to sit on both of your legs. Now, if you ever see a baseball catcher, I played catcher for quite a few years. That's another sport I can beat you in, Mahmoud. If you play baseball, catchers, they sit on their legs, on their heels, but their heels, if you could see them, they're pointed off the ground. So they're sitting really on their toes and the balls of their feet. This is not how you want to sit. Because you can sit like this and be fine. I can eat a lot like this. You want to keep your feet flat on the ground. And now sit like this. Now look how uncomfortable. Yeah, if you want to, you'll fall over. You eat like this. It's very uncomfortable. Your legs are hurting. And your stomach is pushed in. You feel full right away. Then you finish, you stand up. And emptiness enters the stomach. Now you have to go back to step one. You can't say, oh, I'm actually quite empty. Let me come back and have a second round. No. You have to, at that point, say, I've stepped away from the food. These things help. It helps a person not be overweight. Helps a person not spend excessive time in front of food. Helps a third person remain hungry so they see others who are underprivileged and their heart yearns to help that person because they're experiencing similar feelings. It helps a person not get diseases and sicknesses within the body. Helps a person not spend too much money on food and they can spend on other things of benefit for themselves or for others and the various other benefits that we mentioned the past few days. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who are able to apply the practical steps that were mentioned. We ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us for any transgressions of ours. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا واسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Oh Allah, verily we ask that you are pleased with us. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you are happy with us. Oh Allah, verily you did a huge favor for us, a huge blessing by putting us into the month of Ramadan. This is a month where we can change ourselves and make us people who are closer to you. Oh Allah, we ask that you let us utilize the gifts of the Quran and the Sunnah to do this, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us people whom you love, Ya Allah. And we ask that you make us people who love you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that we're able to learn from these post-Asr talks and how to control our nafs, such that we can grow closer to you and more distant from those things in the dunya that which you hate. Oh Allah, we ask that you let us use all the resources and benefits of this dunya to please you and to be people of benefit. Oh Allah, protect us from being those people who come into this world like scavengers and like locusts. They're parasites who only take from the world and never give back. Make us people who give back so others can benefit and your creation can benefit. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins. We've come in with mountains of sins that we've accumulated upon from the months and months that we have disobeyed you. Allah, we ask that you not only forgive those sins, but turn those sins into good deeds and place them in our book of good deeds. But Allah, we also ask that you protect us from doing those sins ever again. Allah, make us people who use our time wisely such that we are doing good and not sinning. Allah, we ask that you protect us from doing those actions that displease you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you protect us from those actions that displease not only you, but they also harm your creation, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that every moment we think to ourselves, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do, and try to do that at that moment. Allah, we ask that you make us those who think, what will please my Lord at this moment, and do that as well, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you put barakah and blessings within our money, Ya Allah, so that we can use it to spend it in your cause, to help our own families, to benefit our communities and our friends, to help everyone around the world, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you put barakah and blessings within our lives, Ya Allah. Let us accomplish more within our time and our years than most people are able to do, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you put barakah within our health, Ya Allah. Let our health be so strong, Ya Allah, that we are like Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, in our 90s and yet able to be as physically active as everyone else, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you help us within all of the areas that we're struggling, Ya Allah. If we're struggling in school, Ya Allah, grant us success in school, Ya Allah. If we're struggling with our work, Ya Allah, grant us success in progress in our work, Ya Allah. If we're struggling in our deen, Ya Allah, grant us progress and success in our deen, Ya Allah. If we're struggling in any relationships, Ya Allah, grant us success and completion and progress in those relationships, Ya Allah. Allah, put love within our hearts, Ya Allah, and love between our hearts, Ya Allah. Let the husbands and wives grow in love with one another. Let the fathers and their sons, and the mothers and their sons, and the fathers and their daughters, and the mothers and their daughters grow with love between one another, Ya Allah. Allah, if there's anyone here who's seeking to have children, Ya Allah, grant them children, Ya Allah. Grant them children who are the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Grant them children, Ya Allah, who are pious and upright, Ya Allah. Allah, grant them children who are beloved to you, Ya Allah. If any of us have children, Ya Allah, grant us the ability to see our children become great people, Ya Allah. Make them pious, Ya Allah. Protect them from the sins and difficulties of this world, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you grant our children health, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you guide our children, Ya Allah. We are unable to guide them the way that we want, Ya Allah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You have mentioned that you cannot guide whom you want, only Allah guides whom He wills. So we turn the affair over to you, Ya Allah, and we ask that you guide them, Ya Allah, and that you protect them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, preserve the family system, Ya Allah. Let us stay away from these fights and these divorces and things that cause the hearts to break and the families to suffer, Ya Allah. If we've undergone it, Ya Allah, help us to reestablish a family such that it stays together and is a means by which we grow closer to you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that as you strengthen love between parents and children, husbands and wives and siblings and friends, Ya Allah, that you also let us reach out to those who are not Muslim, Ya Allah, and to present to them the beauty of the deen, Ya Allah. Allah, verily, your Jannah is vast, Ya Allah, it's very wide, Ya Allah. So we ask, Ya Allah, that you make everyone Muslim and put them into your Jannah, Ya Allah. Allah, we do not hate the disbelievers, Ya Allah. We love them, Ya Allah. We want for them a lifestyle that we feel is the best, Ya Allah, and we know is the best through Islam, Ya Allah, where they can have submission and tranquility and peace, Ya Allah, as well as do their daily activities, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us true Islam and them true Islam as well, Ya Allah. Allah, let us advance from Islam to Iman, Ya Allah, and let us go further into the realm of Ihsan, Ya Allah. Grant us that perfection, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask ask, Ya Allah, on the Day of Judgment, when you have everyone stand up and you hold them to account, that you do us a great favor, Ya Allah, by not even taking our account, Ya Allah, rather put us into paradise, into Jannah, al-firdaus, without any hisab. Do not question us, Ya Allah. We know of our guilt, we know of our mistakes, Ya Allah. We ask, Ya Allah, that you guide us to that which is beloved to you, Ya Allah. And you let us live lives that we do things that are pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, verily there'll be a group of people who on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, when they come to paradise, the angels will not even be prepared to receive them. And they will ask, what did you do? How did you go through the reckoning so quickly? And they will say, we had nothing to our name. We were on the backs of our horses and we were establishing justice around the world. Oh Allah, verily they will come in and they'll be honored in paradise, Ya Allah. We ask, Ya Allah, that you make us amongst those people who do not have any strong attachment to this dunya, Ya Allah. We're only as attached as necessary, but our true attachment and devotion is to you, Ya Allah. So we can go through the Day of Judgment and enter into your paradise without any hisab. Oh Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, when you raise the people on the Day of Judgment, you put us with that special subset and group of people, Ya Allah, who are under the shade of your throne, Ya Allah. So that we're not affected by that low sun on that day, or the heat, or the tension, or the anxiety, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, in the grave, Ya Allah, you expand the grave as far as the eye can see, Ya Allah. And that you open for us a gate into paradise, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask that you forgive our parents for all their sins, Ya Allah. Elevate them and honor them, Ya Allah. They are people who are beloved to us, Ya Allah. We ask that you accept them, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, that you help this ummah by uniting this ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, let us overlook our differences, Ya Allah, and let's look at that which we strive towards, Ya Allah, and that is a pleasure of you, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, because the time is short and the list is very, very long, Ya Allah, that whatever the Prophet ﷺ used to ask from you, Ya Allah, that you grant that to us as well. And whatever he sought protection from in you, Ya Allah, that we also gain that protection with you, Ya Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri qalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika Ya Allah.